بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Then Allah, the most majestic and most high, said, هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم. He knows you well when he created you from the earth, meaning Adam, and when you were fetuses in your mother's womb. So ascribe not purity to yourselves. He knows best him who fears Allah and keep his duty to him. So he knows of us all the way from long, long, long time ago concerning the origin of Adam, the creation of Adam. Because Adam was created from soil, then he became clay, then dry clay. Then Allah created him with his hands into a body, and then he breathed in him the soul, and he became human. This is the meaning of what Allah said here, إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, when he created you from the earth. So in the beginning we came from the earth, and Allah mentioned this in Surah Taha, in Surah Taha chapter 20 verse 55, منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. Thereof, meaning the earth, we created you, and into it we shall return you, and from it we shall bring you out once again. Bring you out to a return. But there is no death after that. There is no death after that. And that is the day of resurrection. And that's why now the children of Adam are like the earth. Exactly. Amongst them you find the difficult and the firm. And amongst them you find those who are easy, and those who are in between. And from them you find those who are white, from them you find those who are red, and those who are black. Because the earths differ. And it is mentioned in the hadith that Allah has created Adam from a handful of the earth, from all the earth, all over the earth. What is white, and what is black, and what is red, and what is yellow, and what is soft, easy, and what is soft, and what is firm, and what is between them, and also cross colors. And this is reported in At-Tirmidhi, and he said that this is hadith, is hasan, is good, and sahih, hasan sahih. And also a similar report by Imam Ahmad, and Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it. This is the first creation from the earth. Then Allah mentioned in the same verse, وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. So thereof the earth we created you, Adam, and into it we shall return you. And he knows you well when he created you from the earth, and when you were fetuses in your mother's wombs. This is another one. Fetuses, plural of fetus. And it is called Janin because it is shielded. Ajinna, meaning shielded. Fi butuni ummahatikum, in your mother's wombs. Meaning from the time the fetus began as sexual discharge, mutfa. And from it, this is the meaning which when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23:13, ثم جعلناه نطفة في قرار مكين. Thereafter we made him, the offspring of Adam, as a nutfa, lodged in a safe lodging. Lodged in a safe lodging, meaning the womb of his mother. So, from the time he is a nutfa, he is a janin, he is a fetus. Then he develops into four stages: nutfa, then alaqa, then mudgha, mukhallaqa wa ghayr mukhallaqa, thumma yunshi'uhu Allahu khalqan akhar, as Allah stated in the next verses from Surah Al-Mu'minun, the stages. Then we made the nutfa into a clot, which is the alaqa, which is a piece of thick coagulated blood. Then we made the clot into a little lump of flesh. Then we made out of that little lump of flesh bones. Then we clothed the bones with flesh, and then we brought it forth as another creation. As another creation. This another creation, quote, is the one in which the soul is breathed. So Allah knows about us from the very creation, and also during the second creation inside the womb. So he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So don't purify yourself and sanctify yourself. Don't ascribe purity to yourselves. Don't ascribe purity to yourselves and say, I have done such and such, and I have prayed, and I have gave charity, I have given charity, and I fasted, and I strived, and I performed Hajj, pilgrimage. Don't say this. This is not permissible. But if someone says, what about the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Shams? Surah Al-Shams, verse 9. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَ. Indeed, he succeeds who purifies his own selves. Who purifies his own self. Yes, it's no problem. But it means من زكاها, who purifies himself, meaning does that which will purify his self. It doesn't mean praising himself for doing such and such. but rather he acted and did something which will purify him. So therefore, as you can see, there is no opposition between the two verses. So whoever therefore purifies himself by mentioning what he had done from righteous deeds, then in this case he did not purify himself truly by praising himself. There is difference between the two. The praiseworthy one is to do the righteous deeds which will purify the self, by which the self will be purified. And that which is blameworthy is to say, I have done this and I have done that, and praise himself as if he is doing a favor to Allah. As if he is doing a favor to Allah. I prayed, I gave charity, I fasted, I made pilgrimage, I made jihad, I was righteous to my parents, and the like. It's not permissible for the Muslim to do this. And in this there is a refutation of those Sufis, the Sufis, the mystic Sufis, who claim themselves to be imams and purify and sanctify themselves. And they say that we have reached a state or a stage whereby obedience is not required from us. We have reached to the world of the kingdom. There is no salah upon us. It's lifted now. No charity, no fasting. Nothing is forbidden. Those people are detached. Complete detachment from the deen. And that's why we say that those who sanctify themselves are most distant from the true purity. Why? Because they are proud of their actions and it is like they are doing it as a favor to Allah Azza wa Jal, and they assign to themselves a rank which Allah did not assign to them. So Allah stated in this verse, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. So ascribe not purity to yourselves. He knows best him who fears Allah and keeps his duty to him. It is as if Allah is saying, لِمَاذَ تُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Why do you sanctify yourselves? Do you want to let Allah know of what you are upon? You see, the answer is no. That's why Allah said, هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He knows best him who fears Allah and keeps his duty to him. He knows them. So, if you are someone who fears Allah and keeps his duty to him, then Allah knows of you. And there is no need for you to say, I have done this, I have done that. And in this there is an indication that the utterance of the intention upon doing the act of worship may fall into a kind of self-purification. So if you intend to perform wudu, don't say, Allahumma inni nawaitu an atawadda, O Allah, I intend to make the ritual purification of wudu. Don't say that. Some of the scholars say, you can say it secretly, between you and yourself. And they argued, they said that, so that what is uttered on the tongue is in agreement with what's in the heart. That is because the heart intended. And for the agreement to occur, they said, then utter and say, O Allah, I intend to make wudu. Also, when you make salah, say, O Allah, I intend to perform salat al-dhuhr or asr. Some of the scholars say this, and they are respected scholars from the fuqaha, from the scholars of fiqh, but it is said this is wrong. This is an analogy opposing the texts. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not legislate for his ummah to utter the intention. This did not occur neither in a sahih text nor a weak text. And from the stories, a common Muslim was in the Al-Masjid Al-Haram, in the sacred house in Mecca, and he heard someone who intended to, someone who came to pray. And after the prayers, the call for the establishment of the prayer was made, this man said, Allahumma inni nawaitu an usalli al-dhuhra arba'a rak'atin fil masjid al-haram. O Allah, I intend to perform salat al-dhuhr 4 rak'ah, 4 units of prayer in the masjid al-haram, in the inviolable house, the mosque, sacred mosque. He uttered this intention, and then when he was about to make takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, this common Muslim who was next to him said, wait, there is something remaining. You did not say. He said, what is remaining? He said, there remains, you have to mention the date. You say on this date, and then mention the date also. Here you mention the place and you mention the action. There remains the date. On this day, from this month, from this year. So this person became like he was taken by this. So he was told, Do you want to tell Allah? Do you want to make Allah know of your intention? Allah knows of your intention. For he says in Surah Ghafir, verse 19, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the fraud of the eyes and all that the breasts conceal. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the fraud of the eyes and all that the breasts conceal. So therefore, this is not to be uttered, the intention upon performing the act of worship. Also when fasting, for example, when the person eats his meal of sahur, and wants to fast, then he should not say, O Allah, I intend to fast from this night. This is from innovation. This is from the innovation in religion. Then what about Hajj? What about Hajj, the pilgrimage? Do you say, Allahumma inni nawaitu al-umrah, aw nawaitu al-hajj, aw niyyat al-qiran, aw al-tamattu'? Do you say, O Allah, I intend the umrah, I intend to perform umrah, I intend to perform the pilgrimage, or the, and then you mention the kind of pilgrimage, the qiran or the enjoyable. Don't say this. Don't utter that. Even when you take the ghusl and you put on you the ihram clothes, don't say, O Allah, I intend to perform umrah or perform hajj. Sufficient for you is the talbiyah. The talbiyah. Because in the talbiyah, you will say, labbayka umrah. O Allah, I respond to you in umrah. if you are in Umrah. Or you say لبيك حجا, oh Allah, I respond to you in Hajj, if you are in Hajj. Or both, لبيك عمرة وحجا, respond to you لبيك Umrah and Hajj, if you are combining. There is no need therefore to utter the intention. So all the worship, all the act of worship, you don't utter the intentions regarding them. That's why Allah said, هو أعلم بمن اتقى. هو أعلم بمن اتقى. Allah knows best him who fears Allah and keeps his duty to him. Is that clear so far? This is a very important benefit which inshallah ta'ala you make note of. Thank you. And the next verse, verse 33. Qala Allah ta'ala in verse 33, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى. Did you, O Muhammad, observe him who turned away from Islam? Did you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, observe him who turned away from Islam? This address is to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's also permissible to say that this is also intended for everyone to whom it is intended, or the meaning would be, in accordance with the first, is that, do you see, O Muhammad, in accordance with the second, you addressed, do you see? Tell me. Tell me concerning the one who observed, who turned away from obedience to Allah and from belief in Allah and His Messenger and from establishing the rights of Islam. وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى. And he gave a little. Did you see, observe him who turned away and gave a little, then stopped giving? Meaning, if he gives a little. And sometimes, he doesn't give anything. Why? Because he doesn't spend seeking the face of Allah. That's why his situation is between two matters. Either giving something, or them stopping. So it's not of a benefit to the slaves of Allah. He turns away from the obedience and he prevents the favor of Allah. And that's why Allah said, أفرأيت, did you observe? This doesn't, such a request here, this is not because, you know, someone thinking that Allah does not know about this, no. But this is to incite the one who is listening to contemplate carefully regarding this one who gives a little and then prevents and stops, and claims that if he is resurrected, then he will give in abundance. And this is their situation with those who deny the resurrection. This is the situation of those who deny the resurrection, as concerning the person of the garden in Surah Al-Kahf 18:36. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. So this one who gives a little thinks that if he is resurrected, he will be given in abundance and find in abundance. Remember that what this person said, and I think not the hour will ever come, and if indeed if I am brought back to my Lord, I surely shall find better than this when I return to him. So he thinks that he will enjoy this life and then the hereafter, more and more even in the hereafter. And this is assuming that he believes in it. That's why Allah said here in the next verse in our surah here, أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. Is with him the knowledge of the unseen so that he sees? This exclamation is an exclamation of denial, of negation. Meaning no, he doesn't have the knowledge of the unseen. That he will return to a better abode. So therefore this statement is a statement of denial. It's not an affirmation. It is a negation and denunciation. No one has the knowledge of the unseen. Had it not been for what Allah had told us regarding the bliss in paradise and the torment and the hellfire, we wouldn't have known anything about it. Then Allah said, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Or is he not informed with what is in the pages, the scriptures of Musa and of Ibrahim, who fulfilled or conveyed all that what Allah ordered him to do or convey? Allah mentioned Musa here because Musa alayhi salam is the best of the prophets of the children of Israel, and the Torah is the reference of that which has been revealed to the children of Israel. And the Suhuf Musa wa Ibrahim, the pages of Musa, and Suhuf Ibrahim alayhi salam, the pages of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah has sent them upon Ibrahim, and they contained admonitions, also rulings. But Allah did not make clear to us anything of that, except that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was on Tawheed and on the upright religion, as Allah informed about him in Surah An-Naml, verse 120. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ اجْتَبَاهُ وَهَدَاهُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. بل إبراهيم was an ummah, a leader, or a nation. And he was not one of those who were mushriks, polytheists. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ اجْتَبَاهُ وَهَدَاهُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. He was thankful for Allah's graces. Allah chose him and guided him to a straight path. Now, so Allah said here, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Or he is not informed with that which is in the pages of Musa and of Ibrahim who fulfilled. He mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam because he is the father of the prophets. He is the father of the prophets in the offspring, the prophets from the offspring of Ismail, and the father of the prophets in the offspring of Israel. In this verse here, in these verses, Allah mentioned Musa before Ibrahim. And in Surah Al-A'la, if you go to Surah Al-A'la, Allah mentioned Ibrahim before Musa. Right? In Surah Al-A'la, verily, this is in the former scriptures, the scriptures of Ibrahim and Musa. You see that? There is no doubt that the one deserving the mention first is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? Because he is before in time and higher in rank. However, for the sake of taking into consideration the ends of the verses, the ends of the statements in the verse, Allah introduced Musa. And also, you see that? He said, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ. Listen carefully. بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى. Musa is at the end, right? وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. You see that? Musa, وَفَّى. Okay? Taking that into consideration, and also because of the special praise to Ibrahim, he mentioned Musa. Where is the special praise? The special praise in the next statement, wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. Special praise, and of Ibrahim who fulfilled all that which Allah ordered him to fulfill. And from the greatest things which he fulfilled is that when he was commanded to sacrifice his son, he complied, he obeyed the command, and was determined to fulfill and to execute the command. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about him in Surah As-Saffat, he laid him down and took the knife to pass it on his neck. But the relief from Allah came, as in Surah As-Saffat 37:107, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, a ram. Now, and as to what is in what came in these pages, Allah stated, أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. 38. That no burdened person with sins shall bear the burden sins of another. No burdened person with sins shall bear the burden sins of another, except in a situation if the person is a caller for a sin or an innovation, then he shall bear this, and shall bear that meaning the sin of those who act by what he initiated until the day of resurrection. This is what, so he bears the sin, the bad thing which he initiated, and what comes to him because of what others had done following that which he initiated. If you think about it, then in reality, it is his. Because everything will return on him. Because he initiated it. And those who followed him on that will be held responsible, and they will bear the burden of what they had committed. So he, in fact, takes the burden of the bad thing which he initiated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belied those who, Allah belied the saying of those who disbelieved in that which they mentioned to the believers in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 12. اتبعوا سبيلنا ولنحمل خطاياكم. And those who disbelieve say to those who believe, follow our way and we will verily bear your sins. Allah belied their saying, never will they bear anything of their sins. Surely they are liars. So, if someone says to you, do this sin, and the burden will be upon me, he cannot. The sin is on the doer. And if the doer is someone who may be deceived by the saying and does not understand, then the sayer bears the sin of deception. And the next verse, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And that man can have nothing but what he does, good or bad. So, he is not to be given from the reward of others. So he can't take from the reward of Zayd and you give it to Amr. And you cannot take from the sins of Zayd and add it to the sins of Amr. This is not possible except in the cases of requital or recompense for the oppressed who takes from the oppressor. So accordingly, man, therefore, is accountable to that which he earns, as Allah stated in Surah At-Tur, verse 21, كل امرئ بما كسب رهين. Every person is a pledge for that which he has earned. And also, as Allah stated in Surah Al-Muddathir, verse 38, كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة. Every person is a pledge for what he has earned. Some of the people of knowledge took from this verse, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, and that man can have nothing but what he does. Took from it that it is not possible for the dead to benefit from the rewards of good deeds of others. So if you fast one day for Zayd and he's dead, so this doesn't benefit him because of what Allah had said, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, and that man can have nothing but what he does, good or bad. And when they are presented with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ مَاتَ وَعَلَيْهِ صِيَامٌ صَامَ عَنْهُ وَلِيُّهُ, if anyone dies when some fast due from him has been unfulfilled, his heir fasts on his behalf. When they are presented with this saying of the Prophet ﷺ, they said, this is applicable to the obligatory fast, but not to the optional. And similarly with respect to the Hajj, when they are presented with the hadith of the woman who wanted to perform Hajj on behalf of her elderly father, she asked the Prophet ﷺ, أَفَأَحُجَّ عَنْهُ, shall I perform Hajj on his behalf? He said yes. And if they are presented by the hadith concerning the story of the person who said, O Messenger of Allah, my mother died, and if I, you know, I think if she would have stayed, she would have given charity. Shall I give charity on her behalf? He said yes. Their answer, they said, these cases are exceptions to the text, exceptions to the text, and that man can have nothing but what he does. They said these situations that you have heard are exceptions, and we don't have the right to reject the text, and that the general can be particularized. And also when they are presented with the hadith of Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, who wanted to give in charity some of the date fruits, a charity on behalf of his mother, the Prophet ﷺ permitted him. They said this is proven by text, and what is proven by text cannot be opposed, and that the textual proofs in Sharia can be particularizing to the generality, to that which is general. And therefore, such particularization will give them an exception. And accordingly, we can say, the scholars are saying, those who take by this verse, and that man can have nothing but what he does, they say, yes, man can have nothing but what he does, except in the cases that came in the Sunnah. And there is no doubt that this opinion is a strong one. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, however, mentioned that any act of worship a person does and gives its reward, meaning any act of means of nearness to Allah that the person takes and gives its reward to the dead or to someone alive from the Muslims, then that would benefit him. And he said that these situations that were mentioned are specific cases, meaning that if some situation arose and the person asked the Prophet ﷺ regarding it and he permitted it, so if the Messenger ﷺ permitted it, so he permitted the kind of worship. And concerning the hadith, مَنْ مَاتَ وَعَلَيْهِ صِيَامٌ صَامَ عَنْهُ وَلِيُّهُ, if anyone dies when some fast due from him has been unfulfilled, his heir fasts on his behalf. They said, if this has been permitted in the wajib, in the obligation, and the obligation is a must, it is like debt. And if, in case of debt, if it is fulfilled by someone else on behalf of the debtor, then it is okay. And they carried the meaning of this verse, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, and that man can have nothing but what he does. That it means that it is not possible for him to take from the actions of others. However, if he is offered, if the reward or the action is offered, then there is no harm. Just like they said, the individual has no right to dispense the wealth of someone else. But if someone else gives him wealth, then he has the right to dispense it. And in the book of Tafsir of Al-Jalalain, the author reported from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah that it is permissible to offer the acts of means of nearness, their reward, and the sadaqah and the like, and that the dead benefits from that. And that he, rahimahullah, argued for this by more than 20 angles. Nevertheless, even if we take the position of that of Imam Ahmad, that any act of means of nearness to Allah, a person does and offers it to a Muslim, if we take by that, we will find that the action, however, of the people nowadays is in opposition to this. That's because people today, they offer many of the righteous deeds to the dead. Umrah to the dead, always. Always fasting on behalf of the dead, sacrificing always on his behalf. All of this is not from the actions of the Salaf. And the Salaf take by the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his guidance is that if the person dies, his actions cease except for three: a continuous charity or beneficial knowledge he had left, or a righteous son invoking Allah for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed us to make dua to the deceased, invoking Allah for the deceased. But for you, every time you make tasbih and you say, "Oh Allah, make its reward to my mother, to my father," and that whenever you do a righteous deed, you say, "Oh Allah, have its reward to my father, to my mother, to my grandfather, to my uncle," this is incorrect. You need these actions, just as they need. Don't make your actions to them. Leave for them that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed you to, and that is the dua, the invocation. As to the actions, keep it to yourself. Now, to the verse, وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى, in the next verse, verse 40, and that his deeds will be seen. Does it mean here the deeds will be seen, or the reward of his deeds will be seen in the hereafter at the time of recompense? or that this will be in this life and this will be known. The answer, this is general. It will be seen in this life and the hereafter. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah At-Tawbah 9105, وَقَلْ اَعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Do deeds, Allah will see your deeds, and so will His Messenger and the believers. Meaning, this will not be hidden from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this occasion, there is a point of caution as to what is done by some people. You see them, if they do something, if he builds a library, for example, or a masjid, or a housing for the poor and the like, he writes on the building or on the walls, he writes this verse, وَقُلْ اَعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Do deeds, Allah will see your deeds, and so will His Messenger and the believers. This is impermissible. Because one of them, one of the three, cannot see that. Who is the one who cannot see this? Question to you. The Messenger. The Messenger. It is true that Allah Azza wa Jal sees that, and the believers in this time, they see that, but the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not. In addition, this verse is in regard to the hypocrites, and in this there is a threat to them. This is not praising of them, this is a threat to them. So the deeds of man will be seen. But Allah may shield the sins for a slave as a favor from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hereafter, Allah will bring him, the believer, near Him. And He will tell him, keep on asking him, did you commit such and such sin? And the believer will say yes. Did you commit such and such? He will say yes. Allah will keep on asking him till he will confess all his sins and will think that he is ruined. Then Allah says to him, قَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. I shielded that for you in this, in the world of this life, meaning, وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ, and today I will forgive them for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ثُمَّ يُزَّاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى. 41. Then he will be recompensed with a full and the best recompense. So after seeing his deeds, he will be recompensed with full. The full with respect to the righteous deeds will be more in reward, and the full with respect to the bad deeds will be justice, such that there will be no addition to his sins. With the righteous deeds, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be increasing that, the good deeds, 10 for each one to 700 to many folds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His bounty. This brings the end of the interpretation, tafsir of verses 32 to 41 of this surah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.